Risk of birth. Once upon a time, a stream from its source in far-off mountains, passing through every kind and description of countryside, at last reached the sands of the desert. Just as it had crossed every other barrier, the stream tried to cross this one. But it found that as fast as it ran into the sand, its waters disappeared. It was convinced, however, that its destiny was to cross this desert, and yet there was no way. Now a hidden voice, coming from the desert itself, whispered, "The wind crosses the desert, and so can the stream." The stream objected that it was dashing itself against the sand and only getting absorbed, that the wind could fly, and this is why it could cross the desert. "By hurtling in your own accustomed way, you cannot get across. You will either disappear or become a marsh. You must allow the wind to carry you over to your destination." "But how could this happen?" "By allowing yourself to be absorbed in the wind." This idea was not acceptable to the stream. After all, it had never been absorbed before. It did not want to lose its individuality. And once having lost it, how was one to know that it could ever be regained? "The wind," said the sand, "performs this function. It takes up water, carries it over the desert, and then lets it fall again. Falling as rain, the water again becomes a river." "How can I know that this is true?" "It is so. And if you do not believe it, you cannot become more than a quagmire. And even that could take many, many years, and it certainly is not the same as a stream." "But can I not remain the same stream that I am today?" "You cannot in either case remain so," the whisper said. "Your essential part is carried away and forms a stream again. You are called what you are, even today, because you do not know which part of you is the essential one." This is Tales of the Sand. It's a Sufi spiritual story. And what does this story have to do with Christmas, with Rincon, with you as an individual woven into this community? Well, for Advent, I want to encourage us to sit with three things that hold the holy tension of waiting at that desert edge, trusting and knowing what God calls us into in this holiday season. We wait for Jesus in song and prayer and in our longing. We trust, we put our trust in the rituals, traditions, and scriptures that foretell the birth that we celebrate every year, because these things remind us we can trust God's promises. And the knowing, we trust because we know Jesus is coming. We've seen it before. We've sung it before. But Christmas is not some Yuletide Groundhog Day. It's an opportunity from the living God to know on a regular, annual basis the promise that God is with us all the time, even and especially when the going will get rough and we feel alone or despairing. God is with us. God is with you. And we say it every week, but for the next 4 weeks, we are invited to embody and fortify that reality for the whole year ahead. Because Christmas isn't just December 25. Christmas is an essential gift that we are invited to unwrap every day of the year, because life often holds these seemingly irreconcilable tensions. And so God's living spirit came in human form because God understands how trying those tensions are. And out of God's abundant, overflowing kindness towards us and love for you, God wants us to understand that it's okay to struggle and wrestle and wait and mess up and not know what's coming up next in this life. It's okay for life itself to seem messed up. God wants to give us faith to understand and believe that we are part of God's story by God becoming part of our story physically. And knowing that gift gives us the eyes, the ears, and the spirit to hear and know that God means what God says about turning things upside down for a bold and beautiful vision for a thriving humanity. So getting to that faith, and more importantly, living it out as part of God's story, means being able to hold this holy tension of waiting, trusting, knowing, this holy tension that's baked into Advent and Christmas. Getting to that faith means following along Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise ones, their call to live in hopeful witness with courage and risk-taking action, because we know that God has risked coming to us, being born amongst us. So I began with this Sufi story, this parable, to help us better understand what it means to hold these holy tensions with joy and expectation through Advent and in the year ahead as a community navigating who we were and are and will be. The parable's challenge, the tale of the sand, the challenge is to know and claim our essential parts. It's key to the Christmas story because it's key to knowing who God is for and with us, essentially. To know and claim our essential parts is the key to knowing the risk that God takes for and with us, so we might know and take the same risks for our fellow humans. So what are the essential parts and risks of birth, or of Christmas, and of who we are yoked to this story this season? For birth means Jesus is coming. Coming from labor. God chose an essential part, the essential part, to make God's self known to a humanity that is hungry for love and liberation and life. God chose a body. Humanity received a human. God transcended time and space to be known, sliding out on a placenta, taking that first gasping cry of breath, getting burped, getting the umbilical cord cut, completely vulnerable, completely at risk. This is a process just as essential to all of us being here. We've all been through that. And a birth experience shared by all of us, it's completely risky. What's the essential part of Christmas? What's essential to marking and celebrating that day of birth? Well, here's where today's scripture from much later in Matthew than the birth story can help us. As we read today, Jesus in his adult years is prophesying his return, a new Advent season, but one where even he doesn't know the Christmas day. So as Jesus' hands and feet, we are in an ever-unfolding process of knowing and not knowing the coming kingdom. It's a walk in faithful alertness. And so what's essential to Christmas is celebrating it every year. Yes, Jesus is born every year. The same songs are sung every year. We know he's coming, and it's a light guiding our way this day to be able to know an exact time, to know that we can trust that we have faith that is met in the real world through this birth. December 25, mark it down. Jesus came and Jesus comes. And we know this, and yet because life goes on after December 25, we also don't know what comes next. The story goes on. We're in that in-between. This is the holy tension of Christmas, and that takes courage. There's so much, especially in those of us who are white or privileged, in our white privilege, that mitigates against this tension. Most other folks don't have a choice but to navigate and try to survive in cognitive or bodily or spiritual dissonance and tension every day. So God's inbreaking at Christmas is a promise that God understands that risky tension. And rather than washing it away like a flood, God chooses to enter it bodily, not just anywhere, but amongst those who are themselves marginalized, outcast, smell like sheep poop. In coming to show us how God changes the math to lead us over hot desert sands, where we find spiritual or bodily weariness and exile, God starts by showing us all where the math changes. And if we want to truly claim joy to the world, the Lord has come at the end of this month, we need faith and vigilance like the disciples need. Because true godly faith, faith that liberates, takes us to the mangers of our neighborhoods, cities, and world. And to be part of the embodied liberation that those in the mangers need and cry out for. Jesus is talking about the Noah story in today's scripture as an analogy for how his presence on the earth is thief-like, meaning he's not going to show up where we expect or when we expect, like a manger, and warning that too many are oblivious to God's purposes for judgment and salvation. Because God risks bodily safety, the risk of birth in a fragile human baby body, to assure us we can know God and abundant life are here and possible for all. God loves us that much and tells us a story to show us where to find God every year. So we celebrate December 25th and this whole season every year with rich tradition and warmth and good company and food to remind ourselves of this beautiful inbreaking and upside-down turning of the status quo. And because it also can be terrifying to not know where we're going to find Jesus every other day of the year sometime, we do it for that reason too. And we know how. We keep awake. And we follow the angels and the stars God provides to the mangers of the world. We pray to see them. And we hold on to each other in the process. We allow ourselves to be absorbed into the wind, that spirit breath of God, to trust that this inbreaking is really, truly the only way, truth, and life that can carry us across the deserts of stagnation, dissonance, and grief, back into the water we know we are, a rebirth. In this intentional interim season, in this risky, anticipatory Advent time, are we ready to listen to the whisper and join that wind? Are we ready to risk rebirth? God's essential part is coming to the mangers of our lives, of our city, and of our world. Will we risk finding ourselves there? Will we risk finding God's guiding spirit there? Risking our own birth there, like our God? That God has come, that God is coming. Let us prepare the way. Amen.